Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom, shalom. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley. Shalom to all my sisters. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. She is not with me tonight. Hallelujah. I got an awesome show planned for y'all. I'm really looking forward to it. I bless the Most High. Truly, truly bless His holy name for the opportunity to communicate this story and this testimony to each of you tonight. I got an interviewer. I got a caller, Sister Gabriella from Georgia, with a never-before-heard testimony, and she's waiting to be prompted by me tonight. Thank you for the tens. Bless you. I posted some comments really quickly in the chat to Sister Wenda. If you're able to post scriptures for me tonight, if Sakina isn't listening tonight, she is being an auntie and mother. Jennifer is doing what mothers do. So how many is in my audience tonight? Three. Can y'all give a big all praise to the Most High?
All praise to the Most High!
All right, three lively stones. Bless the Most High. Sister Wenda, hit me up on an email when you can. No rush. I got a favor I need to ask of you. Sister Hannah and Sister Sharon in Kenya, I need a favor from you as well. Please send me an email. That email is going to remind me to communicate to you. Hey, I got a lot to kind of build on this show and a little bit to get, you know, to explain it and to cover the background and to give my love and appreciation, my countdowns and all that kind of stuff. So you're just going to be hearing my voice for a little bit. And my sister, I'm hoping I'll get to her in 15 to 20 minutes or so. I want to give a shout-out to Sister Marshayla doing her cocktails and conversations tonight. She says it's tropical daiquiris, pineapple, coconut, rum, and orange juice with a little berry medley and pineapple. Hallelujah. They enjoy the show, those who gather. I appreciate y'all's support. I truly would support you if you had your show. Pastor did a video today called Make No Excuse. It's kind of what we're talking about tonight. Every time you think you might know what we're talking about, we're going to go a different way. So don't get settled on any dialogue. I'm thankful for the brethren here, and I really liked that visual video and that example. Hey, I have this ginger shot drink from Sister Regine from New York. She's part of that's Sister Esther Regis' sister. She's part of New York. It really helped my cough. I've had a cough for a long time. I was previously sick. The sickness didn't last, 3-4 days, but the cough has been very persistent, and it has really helped me. I know we have different methods to help, you know, some people love the lemon juice and the cayenne, and some love the ginger, and some we have fire cider shots that are awesome. There's multiple ways, but for me, I tried a couple different mixes, and boom. So I hope not to cough tonight, especially because I'm doing an interview, and I don't need the feedback in the microphone. Sometimes I can mute it when I'm coughing. Bless you all, communities who are listening. Thank y'all so much. Deacon's update, he's doing better. Thanks for the prayers for those who are aware that he's been down with his knee. It's been very, very swollen. It's been very, very inflamed. And he's been on medical leave for at least 2 weeks trying to recover. He's very diligent, honestly, when it comes to recovery time. Whether it's icing, heating, we have an ice compression machine from our beloved brother. I have not seen so much love in my life as I did last Sabbath from brother after brother coming over, checking on Deacon. It was almost overwhelming, really, really, really. Show update, I want to share with y'all, since Mother's not here and I'm just communicating, we have a show outline, or can I say schedule, planned for you, for her, for when I go on purification. Sister Gabby Phillips has a really good video about purification. I don't have my sister Sakina tonight, or I would tell her to post that link, but I'm 35 weeks pregnant already. That means I usually go to 38. Right, so I could have as few as 3 weeks, as many as 5 or so, based on my pattern. And you won't be hearing my voice for up to 10 weeks. I don't know if it's boy or girl. We've never known. And so if it's, 4 to 5 weeks with a young boy, I'll be bonding with him. And if it's a girl, we're going 10 weeks. So what we did, joined together, did a 10-week schedule. Let me share with y'all what it is so you can look forward to this. Now, on week one when I'm out, you're going to see a NFL interview that I did last feast. Was it Tabernacles? Yes, when everyone was here with Brother Daniel, Brother Kabir, Brother TJ, Brother Rob. I like that interview a lot. You're going to see the NFL interview some weeks. Mother Jennifer is going to introduce to you a video for you to go on to YouTube and watch for our show. But you will always have her on this show coming on every single week, y'all willing, and introducing to you the direction that you should move or go to. I have a couple of other great interviews. I have a Granny Diane interview. I'll be interviewing her pre-recorded this week on Romanticism or Romantic Love Part 2, and I don't know what she's going to say. It might not be a Part 2. It might be something very different. I'm looking forward to that. I interviewed Sister Jasmine Basham, and I'm saying that right, from Straightway, Georgia. She was a previous doctor. It was nice to hear her input, especially when you take a doctor who's never seen anyone be healed and then coming to our ministry. So I interviewed her. I interviewed Sister Karisha, who I personally believe, is a great example of submitting herself to the community and to another man and to the helping hands of those who have poured into her children as a single mother for so many years. I'm also going to interview Mother Carol, not me, I'm sorry, Mother Jennifer's going to interview Mother Carol, and Mother Carol doesn't know that because I haven't seen Mother Carol much, and I haven't told her. So you're hearing it live if you're listening, Mother Carol. You're going to be on the show, Mother Carol. Please and thank you. Sister Chris, I want to interview you. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to Sister Ajani, but I'm not going to be there, so it's Mother Jennifer. And so Mother Jennifer is going to bug you guys just about your sister relationship and becoming friends, right? What else? I got an interview with, I pre-recorded an interview with Jasmine Williams from Straightway, Georgia. It's beautiful, tear-jerking, very emotional for me. Mother Carol sending me a laughing emoji. Yes, Mother, I'm giving you weeks in advance. Get your thoughts together. And then I have something I'm trying to collaborate with the International Sisters, which is why I pre-requested early in the show. Please send me an email to my Wenda and my Aya and my Hannah and Sharon. And then Pastor Corey also committed to coming on live with Mother Jennifer and Sister Gabby, hallelujah, talking about a husband and a wife that agrees together. So I believe it's going to be 10 great weeks unless it's just, if it drops down and I'm boy, if I'm having a boy, then 4 to 5 weeks, we have a nice plan scheduled for that, and you'll hear me again. 87 days until the Feast of Trumpets, 96 days until Atonement, we wear white, and Tabernacles is 100 days away, 101. Hallelujah. I want to say thank you and a big hug and shout out to all ages of listeners, the subscribers, those who follow us, typically also follow Pastor Dow, Lion's Den, and the many other channels that you might find on Pastor's, on his YouTube channel. People who listen to us are homemakers of all ages. I bless you all. I bless y'all so much for embracing your role of being at home. Really, it's not a light thing. Tonight we'll talk a little bit about that. We have businesswomen that listen. We have entrepreneurs that listen. We have educated women that listen. We have aged women. We have young women, newly married, new moms, retired moms, grandmothers, aunts, widows. We got it all. We have mothers of Israel that pay me respect by tuning in. One is obviously my co-host, and one you know is listening because she already responded so quickly to texting me. But to everyone, we're workers of Yah's vineyard, and it's beautiful to know you all. I know as women, so I'm starting to build now on our topic tonight. I shouldn't say as women. I should say our culture in America provides a thank you. That means Grandma Barb is here, huh? Give a big shalom, Grandma Barb. Shalom. In comes the recorder, the 3-inch by 1-inch recorder. Literally, she misses nothing. Thank you for honoring me, Grandma Barb. You could be my teacher.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, she says. So we've probably all mastered being chronically busy in America, and we might have accomplished nothing. You know? Do y'all know what that's like when you're just chronically busy and you accomplish nothing? You're not being still, you know, getting burned out, then dropping and being lazy, doing one thing, getting stressed, can't take more than that, not being the best, right? Got the battle in your mind, got the children you got to raise, got the husband you got to take care of. Maybe you're outside of your home and you're even more stressed. Hours and hours at a job, trying to listen and follow us, of course, and then trying to be at home when you can be at home. So tonight, it's a big reach out to you and a big shout out and a big testimony about being a homemaker. You can work from an inner place of stillness and rest, even when your flesh is really busy. And that's something that I've mastered over the years, and I really, really appreciate it. How did I do it? Oh, my gosh. Just constant confessions, change, repentance, prayer, communication, being vulnerable, making lots of mistakes. Your flesh is busy, but that inner peace inside of you, that inner stillness and that rest inside of you means so much. So are you, as a sister, making yourself available to serve, or are you too busy to? Are you overwhelmed and really self-afflicted? So there is some clips I'm going to play, and it's already been 15 minutes. I'm going to pull you up in a moment, Gabrielle. I'm almost done. I'm halfway through my spiel to try to build up to why I'm bringing you in. So maybe you've heard I'm doing all this and my husband goes to work. I'm doing all this, this, and this, and he only has to do this. Maybe you hear voices like that. I don't know. I hope tonight will help you. We want to remove any excuses that your flesh has given you so that you can overcome. Maybe you expect a man to help with housework. That's an issue. Maybe you hear my husband's lazy, he never helps me, because you get mad as soon as he gets home, you've been working all day, and he comes and puts his muddy boots by the door and sits his feet up on the coffee table and turns the TV on. I don't know. But these challenges, these communications can come when you are a homemaker, a home worker. All right, so a little background of why or how tonight's show came about. Some people like to hear and know, and so I share. I was listening to Lion's Den. Yes, I'm on time every time. And sometimes I'm first. You like being first? Yeah, nobody knows but just you. You know, you got your phone in front of you like, yes. I would put a little something in there if I wasn't just the woman who wanted to be quiet. You know, I'd put a little like, me first. I'm here. Like, I'm not late anymore. It only took 2 weeks. And so I'm listening to Lion's Den. And here it goes. Small clip of what stood out to me. All right? And I think, let me back it up a little bit. I'm going to go to like the 51-minute mark, I think it is. All right, hold on. So Brother Samuel's reading for him. And you know, when you're hearing something, it doesn't matter if it's Pastor Dow on the Sabbath day or a video or anything, maybe it's even our show, but something really jumps out to you. I call it illuminates to you, if I can use that word and be pure. It's illuminated. So here we go.
Did that be, you ain't got to keep going. Basically, just go read Lamentations chapter 4. And tell me this is not what is happening out here. But everybody blame shifting, especially you women. Nobody want to take responsibility for their own actions. It's everybody else's fault. My body, my choice. Nobody going to tell me what to do with my body. So that excuse you to just go be a whore. This is what's happening out here. My body, my choice. You've been told what to wear since you was a child. It's your body. Why wasn't your choice? They tell you to eat healthy. You don't want to eat healthy because it's your body, your choice. It's sickening, man. To think that this conversation even happening.
There was many, many sickening things that had to be discussed that night. But that's what really jumped out and hit me. My body, my choice. Okay? What does Wikipedia say? My body, my choice is a slogan that's meant to represent the idea of bodily anatomy. Okay. It's so great, huh? My body, my choice is a slogan meant to represent your body. It belongs to you, right? That you have a freedom of choice about it. That you have a self-determination over your own body without anyone else's external domination. My body will not be dominated by anyone else, right? And in that case, and with abortion, which is what he was speaking of, it's amazing that you would lay down, or let's even say, be raped, conceive, want to kill, but it takes someone else to do that action, and you're demanding them to do it while you're saying, my body, my choice. No, damn it. How about the doctor who wants to choose no? They're not going to help you. You can't even do it alone, you know? Amazing. So my body, my choice really stood out to me. And then for about 2 weeks, Sister Gabriella from Georgia has been on my mind. We've only had short conversations in our life, but kindred hearts. I marvel at her godliness and her husband's humility. And so tonight he's allowed her to call in, hallelujah, and give me just a moment, Sister Gabriella, because I'm still building. And then you'll learn about the condition of the unity of their home, the circumstance that they have joined themselves together in, and how they have formed such a strong bond in it, in such a trial, okay? And then you have, in my personal life, I have, okay, Deacon is down with his knee. Many women will experience their husband an injury or something occurring, just like maybe something would occur to you, and your husband would experience that with you. But being, you know, on community and having my responsibilities here, but yet my husband being home every day is very different for me because my husband has never been home every day. He's always been at work since day one of marriage. Matter of fact, I've had babies, his children, hallelujah, and he's back at work 2 days later. So I'm not used to him being home. I'm just not. And so with him being home and him having great need, he wanted meals at his time. By the way, I willingly give him what he wants. He needed ice many, many times. He needed heat many times. He needed even crutches brought to him, help getting up. It didn't matter what it was. It was a continual care. Okay? So keep that in mind as we go through tonight's show, because Gabriella is also familiar with continual care. So let me go back to homemaking really quickly. There are hidden blessings to homemaking that would not be known to someone who had not experienced it. Here's a number for you. Homemakers, there's only, on record, 47,000 in the United States. You know how small that number is, Grandma Barb? Yeah. There's only 47,000 homemakers. There's only 47,000 women attempting to be at home when there's 73 million women working in the civilian workforce. 73 million compared to the 47,000. But another interesting fact is that the 47,000 homemakers that want to be at home, their average age is 46. So it's not, you're not, you know, 21 and just married and want to take care of your children, you know. It's after school, after education, after sowing your oats, after having a family, then I might retire because he has money or, right, something makes me want to do it at 46. Now, I forgot to share with the My Body, My Choice. And why it really jumped out to me is a verse in the Word that says something very contrary and very different to My Body, My Choice. Let me go to it. The wife, 1 Corinthians 7:4, the wife had not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband had not power over his own body, but the wife. This is a sharing and giving of themselves between the two of them, right? That's not represented in the slogan, My Body, My Choice, at all. Okay, so that was the verse that really hit me in my mind with the My Body, My Choice. I've heard the slogan before. I've never known what it meant. And basically, it was a feminist idea, according to Wikipedia, which applied to women's reproductive rights and other women's rights issues. So they're saying, this is mine, my body, my body. I saw a video today of two women taking their clothes off, stripping down to just matching bra and underwear in Joel Osteen's megachurch, shouting, "My body, my choice! My body, my choice!" Like, this has become, like, bigger than the vaccine. We didn't fight the vaccine the way we fight, "I can't believe I can't have an abortion," you know? We didn't even fight the vaccine that way. Back to a homemaker. I got a clip for you, okay? I'm going to play this clip two times, so if we miss anything, it's really short, if we miss anything, let me turn my volume up here. Here we go.
All right, let's start off with the fact that a lot of us don't even know what a homemaker is. It is a vocation. It is a career. But many times when we're asked what we want to do with our lives, it's where do you want to go to college and what career outside of the home do you want to pursue? A homemaker has developed domestic skills to care for and provide for the people and the place called home.
Y'all got that? One more time. You want to know what a homemaker is? Here we go.
So let's get to it. All right, let's start off with the fact that a lot of us don't even know what a homemaker is. It is a vocation. It is a career. But many times when we're asked what we want to do with our lives, it's where do you want to go to college and what career outside of the home do you want to pursue? A homemaker has developed domestic skills to care for and provide for the people and the place called home.
So it's developing skills. It's actually a career. It's inside the home. Titus 2:3 says, "The aged women likewise, that be in behavior as become holy, they are not false accusers, they are not given to too much wine, and they are teachers of good things. They will teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home." Okay? That phrase, keepers at home, in the KJV, it says keeper at home. That's our responsibility. A lot of the women in my life, and I would say all of them, love being at home. Love being keepers at home. That's us. That's who you're listening to tonight. NIV says busy at home. Busy at home. NASB says worker at home. And the Greek word for chaste keeper at home is a house worker. Now, I'm going to read an email in just a moment. Four more key points before I bring up my interviewee. Four more key points, okay? Keeper at home. You are charged to do something, to be busy, and to be a house worker. You're charged with it, okay? Make no excuse, right? Watch this. Let's go to the next clip. Here we go.
I'll give a backstory, but basically I couldn't read this and not realize how much I was not prioritizing my home and my husband that is described to do in the scripture, and prioritizing my dreams, my career, and success instead. Depending on the lifestyle and the home that you grew up in, you may not see much value in the home. You may just see it as four walls, there's some food in the fridge, you gotta put it in the microwave, and then you just get out and you go and do the work, and you come back home, and you just make sure that you sleep enough. I just wanna say, there's so much more. I think if we realize the value of the home and we realize what potential it has, our mindset would shift completely. I mean, the home can be a safe place. It can be a guardian. It can be a safeguard around your heart and your spiritual life and protecting your children. It can be a place of education. It can be a place of memories and traditions. It can be a place of vulnerability and excitement and encouragement. The home can be something beautiful if you let it. Okay.
The home can be something beautiful if you let it. But this is the charge and the responsibility that we have over our homes. Honestly, the house has the spirit of the wife. It really does. So let me read this email to you guys. It says, this is sent to Straightway Help Me. I actually dove into the emails from long ago, and I was looking for another one. Couldn't find it. But here's this one, okay? So I had two, and I found one. It says, "I agreed to help a sister with her first home birth after three C-sections. She called me to let me know that she was going into labor. My master drove me and another sister who was assisting me to her house." Okay, y'all got the picture? His husband, he's driving. We're going to a labor. And we're taking, he's taking his wife and another sister. She says, we've never been to her home before. Key in on home, homemaker, and Gabrielle is a homemaker. We're going to talk about her. But back to this, it says, we've never been to her home before, but her and her master have been coming to our community for fellowship. And because my master and I had spoken with the family about being prepared for birth, which they told us, yes, they were ready, they had everything they needed, and in mind, I thought everything in the home should be and would be up to par. When we went inside the home, I was in amazement that literally from top to bottom, the entire house was very dirty, the refrigerator was nasty, the sink had dishes, there were dirty clothes stuffed in all closets in the house, we saw rat droplets in the kitchen, and the table where they ate at was very sticky, as if it had not been cleaned, with dirty chairs. The smell of ammonia from urine that had been sitting so long filled my nose right as I walked in. It was coming directly from the children's room. We were able to figure this out because once we took the beds out of their room, the smell stopped. The beds were brown and did not have sheets or covers. This is a sister. I went back to the car where my master was waiting and told him the situation. When he saw the condition of the house, he did not want his son to even be there because of the environment. He was a very small child. He was petrified and discouraged that a man would allow his house to be like that. My husband told that brother that he needed to help this sister get this house clean. And I told the sister that this is not a conducive environment for a home birth. Very interesting, right? Because she's calling to say she's going into labor. We're driving to your house. You say everything's fine. This is very scary. Can I use the word scary? To get yourself involved in. Because now you're there. And now you got to help someone when you don't support this. So it says, we found out that they also did not have any supplies for the home birth besides a dirty bassinet and diapers. And instead of focusing on the birth, we spent our entire time cleaning. My husband went out, bought cleaning supplies, bleach, Lysol, Pine Sol, etc. We cleaned the living room, the kitchen, all the bedrooms, the bathrooms, the tubs. We organized the kitchen cabinets. We mopped the children's room to help get rid of the urine smell. All the dirty clothes that were shoved in the closets we collected into large trash bags. We also brought a full tote of birthing supplies since they did not have any. As stated earlier, the bassinet was not clean. The towels and receiving blankets were not clean. And nothing was sanitized. She wanted to have the baby in the living room, which was not clean. Hold on a second. It was not clean. And the bed she was laying and sitting on during contractions was dirty. So we had to ask the sister to move while we cleaned the area that she was laboring in. My master ended up calling Elder Becker, who told him to talk to the brother about the birth because ultimately it was not a safe environment for a child. And for them to be Israelites living like that, especially with how long they had been following this ministry, was appalling. My husband also ended up buying a hotel for me, and the sister who was helping me to stay, he did not allow us to even sleep at that house. The sister's cleanliness in general was not up to par, neither were her children. She was not mentally, spiritually, or physically ready for any home birth. Ultimately, she ended up going to the hospital and also take into consideration the number of C-sections she had had in the past, okay, as well as some other issues in her body during the time of that labor. But another thing that had surprised her, or this sister writing in for help, was she's a stay-at-home mom, and tonight my word is homemaker, right? She's a stay-at-home mom, and her house is in this condition. It really speaks to the person that she is. Now, since this happened, we haven't ever been back into her home. Still very cautious about her, what she prepares and brings to the saints. I do not know the condition of her house. We have not been back. Don't know if it's better. So, when we speak on things, we do shows. We're talking about homemaker tonight, etc. We're removing an excuse. You better believe that we have stories behind us of why we're reaching out to the hearts of different sisters, you know. I don't know this sister personally. I don't know if she would even be listening, but it's just a good story, a good email to build for tonight, okay? Two more short clips. And y'all know I don't got my mother, Jennifer, so I got to go. Y'all get a little downtime tonight. I get to hear a little bit of clicking and moving around. All right? Let's hear what this sister says. This is just a couple of clips off of online with women saying the same thing that we would say to my sisters who love being a homemaker, like I do, to my sisters that are listening that love it. She's saying the same thing.
Like, I actually had to want to honor the Lord in my home more than being lazy. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think we could choose laziness over worship through practical life. You can make excuses.
You could choose to be lazy, she says. What about this clip?
I want to start off with a section that she has titled, Is It Fair?
Pause. She's actually reading out of a book, okay? So that's what she means. She is a black woman, homemaker, a Christian, living a traditional gender role, okay? So she's in her wife role at home, and she's reading out of a book. She's about to share something with us.
Frequently, women who are up to their necks in domestic work, tied down to the 16-hour day routine of caring for children, challenge this concept of roles. They claim this arrangement is unfair because women must work harder and longer hours than men. Therefore, they claim men don't have a right to come home and relax while the wife keeps on working. The men, they say, should help more with the housework, especially with the care of the children. This does seem fair on the surface, but there is another viewpoint. A woman's role, difficult as it is, lasts only about 20 years. Even if she has a large family, 20 years sees her through most of it. Then her life takes a turn. She has freedom and usually plenty of time. But the man's responsibility to provide the living lasts a lifetime. Even if he is fortunate enough to retire, he is never completely free from the feeling of responsibility to provide an income. Yes, when you see it this way, the division of work for the man and the woman is fair. I suggest you keep in mind the 20-year span. Do your work willingly, and don't expect too much of your husband. Instead of complaining because he doesn't help you more, keep your marriage intact and cultivate romantic feelings. If you do, there are golden years ahead of you, as in the following experiences. And then she includes some details from other people. I wanted to take time to point this out because this is a kind of gripe that I've heard from quite a few women, and even myself, I feel it sometimes. It's exactly as she says, where, like, the husband will come home from a long day of work, and he'll kind of just plop down on the couch and prop up his feet, and he'll kind of, from the wife's perspective, just watch her vacuum the floor while he's relaxing, or watch her try to deal with the kids while she's cooking. And I do think that if a man is willing to help in those situations, that's a good thing. But I do think it's a difference between just kind of cheerfully accepting help from your husband where he is able to render it versus this kind of like expecting that he's going to shoulder the burden of household work with you after he has come home from his own job, because I think that when we have that expectation and it goes unmet, we can become upset and in the long term bitter about how we feel like this divide of work is unfair.
All right, you heard that, right? You can become upset or even bitter by your expectations of what you want your husband to do at your house. Sister Gabriella, please call the number 310-982-4226. She's got the number. Press 1. And I'm going to bring you in with this last clip.
Number 3, live your feminine role. Instead of helping your husband provide the income, provide a wonderful home life. Let him make the living, and you can make the life worth living. Keep the home intact so it is running smoothly, with all daily needs met. Be feminine, be cheerful, and do all you can to bring a peaceful spirit to the home. Such an atmosphere will relieve his anxieties and help him succeed as a provider. This is very true. I think our first thought when people say, even people who criticize the housewife or criticize the homemaker, they'll say, why don't you help your husband? Why don't you go out and get a job and help your husband? Actually, Your husband very likely doesn't need your help in earning an income. He needs your help to create an environment that gives him reprieve from the difficulties of life. That's how he needs your help. He needs your help to hold back complaints and criticisms when he gets home. He needs you to hold back the children fighting and bickering right in his ear as soon as he gets off from a hard day of work. He needs you to perhaps have a warm meal ready to go that he can sit down peacefully together and enjoy and re-nourish himself. Those are the ways that we help our husbands. I think perhaps we don't...
Hallelujah. All right. I think that's a good build for a good story, right? It's coming. Nadia says it's really good. It's probably one of those you can go back and get a few different things. I think we could all be better at what we do. I think we could always excel better. It took me years to declutter. I don't know why I held on to stuff, right? I would clean, and I've always would clean, and it would never, ever look good. Why? Had too much stuff. Always had too much stuff. I didn't know how to be a homemaker. I didn't know how to be a mother, right? And maybe you don't. I have awesome women in my life. I really do. Visually, I have awesome examples, too. They have great homes, homes in order, homes very clean, very good examples, very, you know, very good organized. Now, it's not time to condemn yourself for how you live. It's just time to be better, to excel at the career that you've now been given from the Creator. This is my career. This is what I do. I'm a homemaker. Wow, right? Obviously, being on community is a different aspect because a lot of us spend, you know, a majority of our time outside the home doing land responsibilities, which is a very huge priority in our life, too. There's a balance to learn. But my sister, Gabriella, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Wonderful. Yes, very loud, very clear. Can you all say shalom?
Shalom.
Shalom.
Blessings to you and our brother Adam. I'm so glad to have you on tonight. Truly I am. You guys have been on my heart. Very heavy for 2 weeks. And I didn't know why until yesterday. And so thank you for, you know, just even joining me at the last minute, getting some thoughts together. And here we go. So to everyone listening, I just want to start off by greeting her the way that I have, giving my love, and then asking you to please tell everyone who you are, who you're married to, and maybe even an acknowledgement from your heart. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. My name is Sister Gabby. I'm originally from Straightway, Georgia, but I have now moved on to Alabama, to Straightway, Alabama. I am married to Brother Adam Vasquez. As you guys know, he was healed about 2 tabernacles ago. He is no longer in a wheelchair. And, yeah.
He's no longer in a wheelchair. Now, that clip, if Sakina was here, she could post that link, too. Great show to miss, Sakina. I'm hitting this trumpet for our brother's healing. And you can find that video online. Hallelujah. But here we go. This is for the Most High, y'all. All right. So something I've never talked about on the show, and honestly, there's quite a few reasons why, and you always wait for the perfect time, is that I spent a very short period of my life, which will be about 6 months, paralyzed on my right leg from my hip down and my left thigh. And that 6 month period made me very, very different, very humbled, very compassionate for the state of anyone lame or who had a condition in their body that they didn't know the end of. Now, mind you, I go up to Sister Gabby, at a feast, and I just briefly tell her how humbling it is to see her dynamic and her family. They're very humbled. And so here we are. Let's back it up to, let's go 10 to 15 years ago, Sister Gabby, and you were friends with a man named Adam. Tell me about that.
Yes, ma'am, that is correct. We were friends. We grew up together. Our older brothers were friends. My younger brother was Adam's best friend. So we were always together for the most part. We went to school together. We hung out together. And so with that is how we, you know, build our relationship.
Hallelujah. All right, so she had a friend, and this friend, he could walk, right? He could walk, he could move, he could do everything. You guys were friends. What happened?
Yes, he can walk. He did everything. He was, in 2016, he was in a car accident where he was left with a spinal cord injury, and that left him paralyzed at the time. So he was in a wheelchair. Could not move. You know, I remember seeing him. At the time, we were just friends. So I remember seeing him in the hospital, laid there, hooked up with all these tubes. And I just remember, like, touching him, and he was so cold and not knowing, you know, was I going to have my friend back? And he came home. He was still, I remember seeing him when he got home, and he was in bed, still couldn't move. He needed someone to feed him. He needed someone to do his every move for him. So that's how he was after his accident. You know, now looking at him now, it's clearly a 360, you know, what the Father has done for him.
Absolutely beautiful, very tear-jerking for me and my audience. So now, this was one of the most stunning points of your story that I remember hearing, and I've only heard it briefly, and many, many details I do not know, so I'm trying to pull them out of you tonight.
Yeah.
When and why and how did you become his wife? What was that like? What amazed me, Sister Gabby, was that You were a friend coming into his home to help him, correct? And then tell me what happened.
That is correct. He needed someone to help him on the weekends. So he had someone to help him on Saturday, but he needed someone help on a Sunday. So he had asked me, you know, can you come every Sunday and help me? And I told him, yes, I could. So I would go to his home every Sunday, and I would care for him. And that's how that part had came about. And then with that, that's how our personal relationship had built, was based upon me going over every Sunday. And we would go out, you know, in the beginning it was a little hard because he couldn't really go out as much due to the wheelchair and just certain situations. But that, we grew on that. And one day he came over and, you know, he sat down and he talked with me, and, you know, we had both came to an agreement that this was the best thing for us. At the time, I was a single mother, and my daughter, he had seen my daughter grow up. So for me, it only had made sense. My daughter had grew an attachment to him. And it was just, when we would be together, it just seemed, you know, everything just flowed.
I think of a couple different things, and I did this the first time I heard you too. I think of his journey, his mind, him losing mobility, and the absolute humility that he had to experience. I'm not a man, nor ever would be, don't know how they think, but to lose anything, you know, the strength of your arm, your foot, your elbow, but to lose it all. So I thought of him and his journey in his mind. I also thought of you being a woman that was willing to love a man because of his spirit. That's very set apart. That's very, very set apart. I honor you for that. And sadly, I introduced to you, each of you listening tonight, a small story of an opposite mind, okay? We'll go back to her story. I'd received, this was years ago, I'd received at least two calls from women complaining that were charged to take care of Mother Beasley. Mother Beasley was an amazing woman. Right, Grandma Barb? Mother Beasley was an example to be remembered for the rest of our lives. I won't forget it. I won't forget what she taught me in my short experience. I know my Muncie will not forget their relationship and their experience. And I received complaints from the heart of women who were asked to take care of her, who couldn't find it in their hard, cold hearts to care for her on her way out. She probably only lived another year or so, but they didn't have the tenderness and the care to provide what she needed. And then I remembered reflecting on the funeral that our shepherds supported and how they didn't even show to that. And that was a part of, we're calling ourselves a ministry. We're calling ourselves a fellowship. We're calling ourselves lovers of hospitality. I'm thinking about Sister Gabby here, and I'm thinking of Romans 12, that we are to abhor that which is evil, which would be to shame a man in his need. You know, Romans 12:10 says that we would honor one another, preferring one another. You know what that means, right? Kindly affection one to another and honoring one another, preferring one another, putting someone above you. Okay, that's Christ-like. That's what we do. Also, being fervent in spirit, this is Romans 12, fervent in spirit, because I'm sure there's thousands of life's lessons that Adam and Sister Gabby have experienced that we would not even ever in our lifetime know. But it also says that we would rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulation and be given to hospitality. As women, we are to be given to hospitality. Part of that hospitality chiefly goes to your husband and his home. Now, going back to Sister Gabby, so now you are now covered, this your husband. Tell me what caring for his body was like, and not in a sense of emotions. I mean physically. What were some of the demands that you needed to do for him that he wasn't able to do?
Some of the demands were, and still are, you know, helping him out of bed, helping him get dressed, helping him do simple tasks, brushing his teeth, brushing his hair, helping him shower, helping him anything that he, you know, wanted to do. If he wanted a book, if he wanted even his phone, that's where I would step in, just helping him up, using the restroom, you know, everything and anything that he used to do, I had to now help him.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful, and it takes away any excuse. It really, really does to any cold-hearted housemaker that may be listening. And honestly, it's just because a lot of us haven't been trained. You know, very slothful by nature, maybe even passive or misunderstanding in their role. And so I think this is a really powerful testimony to continue in. Okay, so now you are caring for him, and it's around the clock. Right? It's 24/7 at that point, or even this point, right?
Yes, yes, ma'am. It's 24/7. It was at that point, as it is now.
Is there anything that's even come up in your mind or your heart as we've talked? I don't even got to ask you a question. If there's something that you would like to say or share?
No, nothing comes
okay
to mind, no, at the moment.
All right, that's perfect. I never want to dismiss something that you may have to say. So now you're with a man who has a high need for you. And tell me, okay, you shared with us the physical responsibilities and things that you do. Tell me now, emotionally, what it's done for you, or maybe even spiritually, what it's done for you, how it's humbled you, or what this experience has been like for you.
It's spiritually, it's helped me, you know, just understand that you really don't come first, you know, in a marriage. I'm there to help him. I'm there to help him meet his needs. I've learned so much from him, you know, taking a step for granted, you know, for say, anything I do, you know, I have to think about it like, I do this because I still can. I'm an able body, but my husband isn't, you know, and just really being thankful in that.
Wow. Taking one step is taken for granted. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I often think of my brother, especially after my short experience. I have often thought, too, that the eternal reward, and I talked to you about this, the eternal reward of righteousness or Christ-like nature that he has been able to attain through this experience is far more moving, compelling, rewarding than having his body and his job and his abilities. But at the same time, going back to your experience, so you saw this man go through a journey mentally of having all the members of his body and then losing the ability. What was maybe some of the low points for you or him?
For me, really just seeing him go through that, you know, really looking at how your life can change in the split of a moment. And he's here as well, Sister Ashley, and, you know, he can also answer that question too, if you're okay with that.
I would love to hear from him. Please, let's bring on our brother Adam. Bless you, Brother Adam. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for your time. Share your heart, sir, if you heard the question.
Yes, I briefly heard it. And bless you, Sister Ashley.
Bless you, bless you.
So, yeah, it was, well, first of all, I never told Gabby this, but before we got together, I actually spent about, I want to say it was about 3 years praying for someone. So, about 3 years, I was watching my parents, like, care for me day in, day out. It was very difficult. So, like, about every night, I just opened up my phone and read my Bible on my phone and prayed for someone. Like, jeez. My dad's getting old. I was like, man, his grades is just getting thicker, and it was just weighing heavy on them. I was like, man, I need someone to help me out of this. And I didn't realize until one day, I was like, man, I got someone here that's always here. And then eventually at one point, she wouldn't leave me alone. She'd be at my house all the time and bring me things and coffee. And I didn't even drink coffee, but I drank it just because she brought it. But it was a very difficult thing, being able to do everything for yourself. And then, you know, the next day is different. I remember waking up out of bed and just, like, trying to go to work. It was like, oh, dang. So, yes. I don't know if I answered the question or not.
Yes, absolutely. Brother Adam, thank you. You made me think. Don't go anywhere yet. You made me think of Ephesians 5. So ought men to love their wives as their own body, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself. And no man ever yet hated his own flesh. He nourished it, he cherished it, even as the Most High Yah cherishes the church. And when your maybe girl or friend at the time became someone that you cherished and nourished and loved so tenderly, please express... how would I even ask the question? How she has helped heal your heart?
Well, when I asked her, I remember telling her, I was like, all right, you know what, I think it's time, you know, you just be with me. And she's like, I don't know, what does everyone think? I was like, I don't give a damn what anyone's going to think. And she's like, well, you're best friends with my brother. I was like, and what is your point? What is he going to say? Is he going to be mad about it? He was, but that still didn't matter to me. It's like me and her, we had a different relationship. And it's just when we got together, it was different because for the one thing, I was able to get out of my parents' house, and I was able to leave that home, and it was just, I don't know how to explain it. It was just different. And once we got together, I was able actually to focus more on healing, focus more on recovering. I was able to work out more. I was able to exercise, stretch, and just do all the things I needed to do. And then when she stopped working at her job, that's when our blessings really started falling into place out of nowhere. And just like financially and just health-wise, it's just everything changed. And then I was like, okay. And I remember buying her a kitchen set and telling her, like, dang, how are you cooking with one pot? And I don't even make no sense. I was like, you're cooking three different meals out of one pot. And I remember getting her a kitchen set, like, okay, like, I don't even understand how you've been doing it all these years, cooking out of that one little pot. Like some weird, I don't even know what to call that thing. I don't know if it was a pan, a skillet. I don't know what it was. It was this weird oval, flat-shaped thing.
She's laughing. A righteous man is given a righteous woman. That's what happened, just like your prayers, you know, constantly praying. As your father aged, you were praying, and you were blessed with a righteous woman. I thank you so much. Can you pass the phone back to Sister Gabby? And I know I'm going to bring you back up, Brother Adam. Thank you so much for your words.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Hallelujah. Hey, thank you. Every wise woman builds her house, and that's a really good example just from his tender heart and his humor to express to everyone the power and the potential that a woman has with her her abilities to be a helpmate and to be a homemaker, how that can actually compel a man to push him farther than he was able to go without it. And showing from creation, from the very beginning, that Yah saw that it was good to give him a helpmeet, you know, that every man would desire it. Hallelujah. All right, Sister Gabby. So, now you are 100% keeper at home, but then in comes ministry. How did you find us? Or how did Yah?
So my husband had found Pastor Dow, and I remember he had shared videos with me. And he was kind of telling me a little bit about the truth, and I was not receiving it. I didn't understand it. I didn't care to know. And so I remember a few months after, he sat me down, and he's like, you know, we've seen a video of that pastor had of a wedding, and we watched that video, and after that, it made me think, okay, well, I wanted to know more. Then after that, I would ask him. Then the keeping the Shabbat came about, and I remember not understanding why, what it was. He was also new to it, and so it was kind of like a learning curve. So we started keeping the Shabbat, and after that, it just went from there. I remember just looking up videos. I would look up pastor's page just to see like what this was about, and I just went from there.
Beautiful. So now you begin to probably listen more, make changes. You were already in a very unique role with him already, but now your daughter has a father, right? Tell me a little bit about that transition.
So my daughter has her natural father in her life, and my husband has now came in. So that actually, it was a shift for her. because at the time that we were together, it was also around the same time that the faith was introduced. So it was a little shift change for her, which in the beginning, she didn't understand it. So as time grew, she ended up understanding more, being more accepting of the way that we dressed, the way that we covered her hair. But for her, it was a little bit different because here she had her natural father where she was not and still is not allowed to dress in dresses or cover her hair, whereas here, you know, she's able to do so. So for her, it was just a little, and it still is just a little challenging for her.
How many years now have you taken care of Brother Adam, even previous to marriage? How many years now? You said 2016, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Since 2016.
Since 2016? The word says the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. And a large majority of especially American culture and even women would find it very difficult to surrender their life and yield their bodies unto their husband. How was there ever difficult times you questioned, can I do this?
Yes, there has been those moments, but in those moments, I always go back to him. You know, who's going to help him? I try to take myself out of it because I can do for myself, but he can't do for him. And that's what helps me get through those overwhelming times or just if something gets hard, you know, I have to make sure that I'm keeping myself healthy because if not, you know, that falls down on him. I can't help him if I'm not taking care of myself. And he's often reminding me about that. You know, I have to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, whether it's health-wise, spiritual, or anything, because if I'm not strong in those areas, I cannot help him.
So give me some examples of how you have learned to take care of yourself in the midst of such a high demand on taking care of someone else. What do you do? What
have
you learned?
He's so motivated. Like, for example, working out. We'll do it together. He will, if I want, you know, some supplements, some herbs that will help me, whether it be with my hormones or just anything that would be beneficial to my body, he will bring, you know, he will provide them for me. But really, it's just him being there to motivate me and to constantly remind me that, you know, we need one another. I need to be in this, you know, I need to be good in order to help him.
And so is it your responsibility to keep his house clean as well as his body?
Absolutely, it is.
And you feel very responsible for that, correct?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
I think of Jesus when he talked to his disciples in Matthew 5. He said, whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him too. It's a beautiful story how you've never let flesh or communication destroy the bond and the union that you guys have. You can even feel the love and the humor in your story as you tell it together. What you've been through is amazing. I guess just even the being patient in tribulation, the way that you guys have. All right, so now you get fast forward to, I don't know, was it last year, 2021, or even earlier, that you, did you move locations? Did you get closer to Straightway, Georgia? How did you get close to Elder Rufus and his assembly there?
Yes, ma'am. So after we got together in at the end of October 2019, we moved in with his brother and his Ashaya in 2020. So in that, after Tabernacles 2020, my husband said, we're leaving. We're moving to Georgia. And I remember, like, you know, it was just so fast. Everything was moving. You know, I had to leave my daughter behind. I was just really having to lean on the Father and the faith and my husband's faith, because now I'm leaving California, which I've never left in my life, never lived anywhere else but this small town. So he says, we're leaving. And I say, okay. So we leave. We get a place in Georgia, and that's where, which was 2 hours away from Elder Rufus. And we, the week that we got here in Georgia, we started going to Shabbat, and we've been there ever since. Just last Thursday, we finally left Georgia and have moved into the community in Alabama.
Hallelujah. You know, let's back it up for a minute. You just said California,
yes,
for the first time on this broadcast. So California means, okay, that's where you were at. Why did you move in together with his brother and his wife? What compelled you to do that?
We did that. We did that because originally, if I'm not mistaken, his brother was going to move to Georgia, so we were just going to stay there. In the beginning, we didn't know what was going to happen with my daughter, so we were going to stay behind to figure those things out. But then when we found out that it was just going to be a no, I made the decision, was, okay, well, we're leaving. And so that's when, you know, a year later, we left.
That's beautiful. And for those who are listening, you were compelled, of course, by your husband and by his brother to move, listening to the ministry, right, to come out of the city, correct?
Yes, ma'am, yes. To come out of her.
Yep, to come out of her. So you were willing to leave a daughter behind to follow your husband, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yes, ma'am.
And was there ever a strong emotion that tempted you not to listen to that move, that follow?
Yes, because it was a struggle in the beginning, but because, I mean... this is my only daughter. I had been a single mom with her for many years. I had the longest I had been away from her was 2 weeks in her, at the time she was 10. So it was really, really hard for me to leave. But, you know, my husband had got counsel from Elder Becker in the beginning, and it had only made sense, you know. Ultimately, she was not mine. And having to understand that, you know, in the scriptures where it talks about the seed belongs to the man, I never understood it, but it just made sense. And it was something that I knew that, you know, I had no control over. And I was, you know, I had just remembered just saying, you know what, well, if it's the Father's will for her to be with us, then that is his will, but I can't control anything.
Beautiful. I appreciate the vulnerability and openness that you share, because it really helps those that are in the same circumstance. You know, you truly don't know. That's why I want to pull out the details and maybe reach the hearts of the listeners. All right, so you moved out of California. You follow this man. You were willing to give up your daughter. That's huge emotionally for a mother. But that also proves your love for the Messiah, which is to be exalted in this entire thing. You said to me today that it's not been out of your own strength that you can do what you've done. Can you glorify Yah for a moment?
Yes, yes, ma'am. All praises to the Most High Yah. You know, without him giving me the strength, I wouldn't be able to do what I do as far as taking care of my husband or just being here, you know, here in Alabama on a community, if it wasn't for him and his strength and his love towards me.
Hallelujah. Hey, let's play our first song, absolutely beautiful song, okay? And thank you. Thank you so much. Hold tight. I got some more questions because we're building up to community dialogue, because that's where you're at now. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Bless y'all. Be right back.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. Lord, give me you.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Thank you for holding. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Sister Ashley here. Mother Jennifer is away. She will either listen live or always catch it at a later time. I'm here tonight with Sister Gabriella, her wonderful husband, Brother Adam, and a story. If you've missed it, please go back, check it out, listen to the beginning of their story tonight on the upload that comes on our channel later on. So now, Sister Gabriella, let's do a sound check again. Are you still there? Everything all right?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Hallelujah. All right, my sister, so now you've moved from California. You've moved closer to Georgia or 2 hours away from the community. Some of us have heard the story of Adam's brother, your husband's brother, and their dedication, their travel, the work that they've been able to do there in Georgia. And so they've been given an opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to live on a community that was established by Straightway. Pastor Dell spoken of it. I believe it may be even July when quite a few brothers may be traveling to kind of build up and, hey, do whatever work needs to be done. Give me a little bit of your heart when you got the invite, when you were told you're moving to Alabama, you're moving to a community.
Yes, yes, ma'am. So I remember it was a Shabbat on Pastor's Blog Talk. We were all sitting in the living room, and Pastor announced who was going to the community. And I just remember having no words, you know, just really, you know, nervous and scared but excited. It was going to be something new. Just, I was just filled with so many emotions at that one time.
What do you think got you to that community? What is it in you or in Adam or in Elder Rufus or Pastor's heart? What's the factors that got you that invite?
I would say my husband's submission to the Father is what got us that invite.
Very good answer. I would probably say I agree, not even knowing either of you personally or laboring with you daily. I'm going to ask it one more time. You're going to answer the same way for anybody who missed it. What is the factor that got you an invite to live on a community?
My husband's submission to the Father.
Beautiful. I would say that's the main reason each individual got invited. Through the opportunity that the Father provides by the husband's obedience to the Father, to the Creator, to Elder Rufus, right? So now your responsibility as a wife doesn't change, though, does it?
No, ma'am, not at all.
So you're going to a community with a different circumstance than anyone in any community, and
yes,
you're going...
Ma'am.
Yes, you're going with obedience, you're going with submission, you're following a husband who is so submitted to the purpose. Tell me, what has been some of your thoughts? Now you're there. You said last Thursday, right? It was 7 days ago?
Yes, ma'am, 7 days ago.
Wow, and that could have been when I started thinking about you. I don't know, could have been a week before that. But honestly, you guys have been so heavy on my mind, and I didn't know why, but... I've been lifting you up, and okay, so you've been in the community for 7 days, and now you're readjusting and you're unpacking. What's it been like? You got a new room. What's going on there?
Yes, ma'am. Well, it's been a lot. You know, my daughter was able to come visit, so she is here. She, in the midst of packing and, you know, everything, now we're on the community. She's enjoying it. You know, I'm watching her soak it all in, having, you know, just like the time of her life. She has her sisters there. For me, I'm unpacking, not completely yet, but we're still have stuff in boxes. But we're getting there and just trying to find my, my place, if you can say that, you know, and still being a wife and knowing that my husband has different needs, and finding, you know, and just trying to help out in the home and having myself, making myself available in certain times and areas, but making sure that in that I'm not forgetting my husband as well. So it's just been a whole different change for me.
Very good. You will through the power of the Most High, you will learn the balance, and most definitely you've established such a foundation and pattern of caring for your husband. I am a firm believer that will remain your priority as so many other things shift. How old is your daughter now?
She's 12.
She's 12. Who's on the land? You can say names if you want. You say how many. Tell us a little bit about who's with you right now.
So I believe it's 21 saints. We have the house of Brother Emiliano. We have the house of Brother Jonathan Sims, which is our leader. The Brother Caleb and his Ashire, and myself and Brother Adam. We also have Brother Chris, Brother Juan, Brother Brandon, and also Brother Marty, who is not on the land yet, but he is part of Alabama.
Beautiful. Does anyone in the audience have any questions?
You're enjoying tonight's show?
Yes.
Yes, they say absolutely. I could hear, who was it, Tammy?
Yes,
like, oh, my God, something has really hit her spirit. So can you give me and give all of us a testimony of your husband?
My husband is, where do I start? He's been an encourager, you know, seeing him go from being one an able body to not being able, to see the fight in him to want to continue to just get out there and work. My husband is someone who will give the shirt off his back if he needed to. You know, he will give everything and anything to anyone at any given moment. He is someone who is dependable, loyal, and just a loving, genuinely loving man.
I enjoy hearing your appreciation, which I knew it was going to go that way, because you are in love with the spirit inside this man, and you're understanding how he's the savior of your body, right? How you are, serving him as you would the Messiah. And I think that's a chief example for tonight, that as many years as you've done it and the commitment that you have until he takes his last breath, that you would care for him as you do the Messiah. All praises to the Most High Yah for such a woman as yourself. So for a moment, let's go back to being on the community, and we'll wrap up some of our dialogue and my ideas here, and we'll call it a night. But living on community is going to bring about trials of fire, purifying your heart, challenging you, challenging others around you. As you said earlier, just trying to find yourself. But if I can bring you any peace at all, having him as your priority is still your priority on the community. And one thing that I love about community life, and I even spoke with Mama Nelly really briefly this morning too, just saying I'm glad to be at a place where you can rest when you need to rest, heal when you need to heal. And there is a drive in the atmosphere, and even in American culture, that will push you to be so busy that you'll neglect the very purpose and intention of Yah placing you somewhere, which is to rest your soul. And when you work with your husband, you are being an amazing light, an amazing example for the body,
that maybe you won't have the opportunity to have, let me just run down some hypotheticals, all the cook days, all the garden days. You might not be the school teacher, you know. You might not lead the greenhouse. I don't know. You might do those things too. But hypothetically, in a laborious world, you might not have the praises of many men or your name called for doing and doing and doing all these works. But behind the scenes, you're being held accountable and receiving a crown of life for your surrender and your submission to your husband. It's beautiful. That's how y'all thinks. It's like, Tammy, I brought you here to take care of Granny Ruth, okay? Yes, y'all. We don't think like that. I'm giving that as an example. We don't think like that because I got to do this and I can do this. I got to do this. I got all this going on. No, don't forget your purpose. And not that that's your only purpose either, Sister Tammy, because you do a great job. Grandma Barb, same thing. Grandma Barb has priorities that have shifted throughout the years. Going to do this. Hey, be a school teacher for about 10 years. Okay, stop that and go over here and be a caregiver, you know, for example. So there's lots of shifts on the community, and I just commend you. I do. I commend you, but I commend the Father, and I give him all glory and all praise that even if we bring in someone who is not so-called producing the labor with their hands that a community may demand or need, it's still, you're still just as precious. You're still just as needed. You've been brought by the love and drawn by the love of the Most High Yah, you and your husband. I'm very thankful for the place in the wilderness that is prepared for you, my sister, for the little sanctuary that you have become. And would you like to close out, just share anything in your heart or close out with any words, just saying thank you to the listening audience tonight?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sister Ashley. It was an honor to wake up and hear that, you know, you wanted to speak with me about this. I remember, and I had shared this with you earlier when we spoke, I remember yesterday asking the Father, like, show me where you want me to be and see that, you know, you have this show prepared. It brought me so much peace and understanding, being new, you know, to the community and just new to this new chapter in my life. So I thank you and I thank the Father for allowing to use you, allowing you to reach out to me. And yes, so I just thank you. I thank you so much.
Hallelujah. That was beautiful. Thank you. I've cried many tears tonight. I'm sure my audience have y'all too. Like, we're constantly wiping our eyes. We just love the Father. And I didn't know your prayers. I didn't know what you were talking to y'all about, but you were in my heart. And for you to, you know, throw up your words to the Father and put your faith and your life in his hands and do what you've done for him, as well as anyone, you know, honor to everyone who's following the Most High Yah's calling. And then to be asking him, what can I do? What should I be doing? What is my role or what is my, you know, especially moving onto this community and wanting to be such a benefit. And then if y'all caught that, to turn around and be asked to testify of what you're called to do. You're supposed to be a wife. You're supposed to be a discreet chaste keeper at home, good and obedient to your own husband, that the word of the Most High Yah would not be blasphemed. That is exactly what you're supposed to do. I thank you for your tears. I got to bring my brother Adam back up, though, please. Brother Adam.
Yes.
Please. Thank you so much, my sister. And I'll bring you back up to end the show, okay, Sister Gabby?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Brother Adam. I spoke with Sister Gabby this morning, and the internet service was a little choppy, and she said, my husband has said that we will travel to another location to even be on the show tonight. And so I want to say that, the thank you to you for allowing her and traveling with her. How far are you from your home at this location that we talked to tonight?
So we got an office about 25 minutes away. So I got to travel here to work. So we just came back to the office just to do this interview.
Hallelujah. Can we say thank you, audience?
Thank you.
Absolutely. Brother Adam, can you do me
Glory to the King, he says. Can you give me a testimony of your wife, my brother, and take all the time you need?
I don't think we have that much time, but I'll try to do as best I can.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, she's been a true blessing. It's there's so much to say. It's just she's been a true blessing. She's been the helpmeet that I need. She's been my true counterpart, and she's been very loving to me. Even though when times get rough, it could get real difficult sometimes because I'm a very, very needy person in general. Just I'm very needy, and you know, I try to not be as much as I can, especially when we go to the feast. I'm like, you know what, I'll chill with the brothers, and I put a lot on the brothers just to give her a break sometimes. And yeah, so she's been a true blessing.
Brother Adam, thank you. Could you give me a testimony of your brothers there at Alabama, or even your brothers there in Georgia, Elder Rufus, or anyone on your heart? Could you talk about them for a moment?
Yes. Well, I'll start with Elder Rufus. Elder Rufus has been very kind and loving, and just even when I think he's going to tear my head off, he's just been so loving, and I'm just like, geez, I expected something different. And he's such a loving elder, and all my brothers just very loving as well too. It's just all my brothers, they care for me a lot, and I can see when they see that I have a need, or they see I'm struggling, or they see Gabby needs a break, they'll step up quick. You know, there's a brother on the land, Jerusha. He comes up to me often. He always tries to help me and always giving me little gifts and things. And then we got Brother Brandon. He's always talking to me and teaching me new things. And we go over the word a lot. And then Emiliano, that's my natural brother as well. But I know we talk a lot, and we tend to correct each other a lot as well. And then coming to Alabama, it's just, I remember when we first came here, and my first night here, they helped me, they helped Gabby put everything in the room. And I remember I got my bed set up, and as soon as I set up, I laid down. I just had so much, like, just this great peace on me. I guess I was thinking that one point in time in my life, I was like, I used to be very stubborn and hard-headed, and I used to tell people, like, I don't need you for shit. I would rather crawl on the floor all the days of my life than ask you for help. And now I don't even think like that. I'm just like, now I think it's like I got family here to help me if I do fall on this floor.
Wow. Wow. Your humility is an incredible example. Can you tell us the things that that your body has experienced? Can you tell us the healing, maybe things that you can do now with your body that you weren't able to do prior to Straightway Ministry?
Prior to Straightway Ministry, it was very difficult for me to walk. I couldn't go long distance. I wasn't really able to walk as far as I can now. I go a lot further. I could stay on my feet for a longer period of time. Actually, before I moved on to Alabama, I was struggling getting up the steps. Like, I had to have two brothers help me up. They were literally lifting my legs up, and one of my brothers, I'm not going to say his name, but he was so loving, he kicked my foot up. And, now I get up the steps a lot easier from just that small period of time of moving on to community from last week till today. I actually, since Shabbat, I've been walking up the steps pretty well. And after Shabbat, it's just been me and Gabby going up and down the steps with ease.
Wow, that's beautiful. All praises to the Most High, Yah. And your arms too. Have your arms been affected by your faith, your keeping of the commandments, and your experience with the community?
Yes, ma'am. I remember. Asked my brother to pray over my hands so they could open up more. And that was, I want to say it was Passover. And since Passover, I've been able to lift my hands up a lot higher and a lot straighter with ease. And my hands been able to open up more. And it's just, I can open my hands a lot better now as they're over my head. So it's just, praising's got better. And just, yeah, it's like a constant healing just being around the brotherhood. And it's just, when I'm not around them, I don't feel any growth.
Wow. Wow. The day and the moment, and Sister Heidi had posted it just, and Sister Wenda too, I believe, in the chat room earlier in the show when I mentioned Pastor Corey laying hands on you for healing at a feast. What was that experience like for you?
That experience, I remember they were doing mass deliverance, and I don't know what was going on with me, but I wanted to leave the tabernacles. I was like, I feel sick. I feel like I'm going to die right here if I stay here. And then there's some brothers trying to get me up and laying hands on me. I want to say it was Elder Mitch. He said, hey, man, well, we need someone else. And he went to go get Pastor Corey. And Pastor Corey came in. I don't really remember what he said. I really don't. I just remember hearing get up. So I got up, and then we started walking. And I remember I fell one time, and then I got back up, and we kept walking. We walked back and forth in the tabernacles, I don't know, about three or four times. And I'm like, dang, that's the longest I've ever walked. And I was like, before they needed it to get me up in harnesses and things like that and take away about 75% of my body weight just to get me going.
Are you in any pain?
If I am, I'm not sure if I feel it. I've become so numb to the pain, I'm not really sure, to be completely honest. But currently, right now, I don't feel any pain.
Hallelujah. When the accident occurred in 2016, what were you diagnosed with?
They called it a C4 spinal cord injury, paraplegic. So it pretty much means that I have no movement from the neck down.
And they, I'm sure, believe that you never would?
Yes, yeah, so after it happened, I had slight movement in my right arm and not very much anywhere else, and the doctor just looked at me directly in my face and said, you're never going to walk again. You'll never move your legs again. You're going to need to learn to adapt to a new way of living. And I remember being like, no, that's not going to happen. And like, I was literally sitting there arguing with the doctor. And he's like, you need to come to realization and come to terms and just accept this, Adam. I'm like, no, I don't believe that. And I refuse to believe that. And yeah, I'm glad I did, because I remember after that, I just kept refusing to believe that. And I kept trying to push. And I just kept running into all these Christians, and they kept talking to me about Jesus, and everything kept pushing me, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And now Brother Emiliano is actually who found Straightway Truth. I'm like, oh my goodness, another Christian. And it wasn't that at all. And then once I started listening to Pastor, I was like, okay, this is different. This is real. This is not no joke. You guys ain't playing. And after that, I was hooked. I couldn't stop.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. I am, I think I'm running out of questions. It's been a beautiful testimony. Can you just give all praises to the Most High Yah and glorify him for a moment? But any closing words, Brother Adam?
I don't have much closing words, just all praises to the Most High Yah. I'm glad he's brought me out of her, and I'm glad I was chosen to be a part of his holy set apart people. And, you know, I pray he doesn't take that from me, and I just want to just keep pushing forward in this.
Hallelujah. I send a special thank you and honor out to everyone who's helping you in your time of need. It is our command, most definitely. And just your humor is really, it's stunning. Your spirit, it's stunning that you would have this type of life and the spirit of Yah, you know, moving on you with joy, even in a condition like that. It's a huge testimony to all of Israel. I pray that we learn something from it. Brother Adam, thank you. Safe travels on your way home. Please pass the phone back to your beloved wife.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm here to pass.
Bless you. You're putting yourself in a position to somehow, at some point, teach another woman how to love their husband. And I thank you for being such a good example. Did you have anything come up in your mind or anything you would like to close out with, sister, when you were listening to your husband speak?
No, just, you know, thank you. I thank the Father for allowing us to be here with you tonight. And I just pray that it does reach someone and help them overcome maybe their selfishness or their laziness. If they can just reach one person, you know, that is just a blessing in itself.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hey, so for anyone out there, and even if you caught my email early in the show, you know, struggling as a homemaker, struggling to, you know, let's say find time, I like your example because the high demand that's on you. What do you say to the woman who is bound by her excuses? Where does she start?
She just starts by just doing, you know, just stop with the excuses, you know, get up and just go.
Get up and go. I like that, right? Can we all say get up and go?
Yes.
Yes. Can we all say we're going to be better?
We're going to be better.
Yes. We're going to complain less. We're going to stay motivated. We're going to be the homemakers and the women we're called to be, and fulfill the career of homemaker, right? Hallelujah. It is a job. It can bring, you know, days where you don't want to do something. You know, the toilet's dirty again, the sink's dirty again, the fridge needs to be cleaned again, whatever the flesh may deal with. Do you love it? No, but you enjoy the satisfaction of completion. That's really what we, you know, I absolutely love finishing something. Right, Nadia, you make 400 rolls or 400 croissants, you make a disaster that you love, that finish, cleaning up, saints loving it, right? So as women, we find our happiness in homemaking, and we find our satisfaction in completion. And I don't believe that anyone would be satisfied or happy as a woman when you're not completing the tasks at home. You know, I've been disorganized. I've humbled myself and asked for great help because it's not my thing. I can clean. I can be a laborer, but I'm not the organizing type. You know, I tell Carolina that often because she is. That's just one example. But that's the beauty of coming together and learning from one another. Avoid becoming time crowded, my sisters, meaning like doing more activities that take you away from your home needs. From the leisurely scrolling on the phone to the Twitter to the Instagram to the possibly Etsy business that you have that you don't need to have. Whatever circumstance it is that's taking you away from your home and making it a burden, start eliminating stuff. I'm super limited on my communication on Marco Polo because of my priorities, not because of I don't enjoy it or I don't have people that I would love to reach out to. It's not something that I want to add or maximize my ability with. It's just not priority. It's really not priority. Is Marco Polo priority? Everyone says no, but somehow your flesh may, from day to day, make something a priority that's not. And then if you're on your phone, you're staring at it, or you're doing something, now you're getting frustrated at the children who are interrupting you or how your day is not going your way and being very controlled. Actually set limitations for yourself, you know, like I'm going to watch this only when they sleep, you know, or I'm going to do this only when they're not around, or I'm going to pray when they're eating lunch. You know, time management is key to being a healthy, happy homemaker. Hallelujah. A couple different books I want to suggest, only if you can pick out the things that you don't want inside that book, okay? Like, be willing. Don't say, this is Straightway's doctrine. It's not at all. But I'll share with you. Fascinating Womanhood is about being a homemaker. She talks about ways to not hate it, ways to love it, things to do. If you need it, consider it. You know, ask your husband. The other book is by Elizabeth George. It's called A Woman After God's Own Heart. Some things to ponder. If you don't got the money and you don't got the time to read, don't even buy it. Don't even waste your husband's finances on the things that you're not going to look into, and just read the word. Just follow our show. Just follow the women in our community and our ministry that are being an example to you, because we all have an example. Most definitely we do. All right, so accept the drudgery of some of the jobs that aren't pleasant in your life by completing the task and feeling completely accomplished day after day after day. And consider our sister Gabby, who has to wake, pick him up, wash him, bathe him, move with him, go where he goes, get the simple things like his phone for him, and does it with joy. Think of her. Sister Gabby, anything? You want to just say goodbye?
Yes. Yes. I don't want to say goodbye, but it was
Hallelujah.
A pleasure being here with you all tonight.
Well, thank you so much. Blessings to the women that abide with you as y'all just as you grind together, as you learn to love one another, as you learn to prioritize, as you don't fear failure, as you perfect communication, all the things that community is going to do. It's for your soul. Hallelujah. I bless y'all. Thank you so much. I have one more clip to go out with and a song, so I'm going to let you go, whether you get on the road or you stick around to listen to it. Bless you both, and thank you so much for your time.
Bless you. Shalom. Thank you.
Ashley.
Oh, hallelujah. I didn't know you were listening. Bless you. Bless you, daughter. Be holy, for he is holy. Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am,
indeed. Children, touch my heart. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Good night, good night. I'm going to Rocky Balboa again. I'm going to a clip from Rocky Balboa. Is this a universal movie? I don't know, for anyone listening, intercontinental and all over the world, I'm sure, or maybe you could find it or listen to it. There's a scene in the Balboa movie, which is like number 6, where he's talking to his son, okay? He's talking to his son. His son is actually arguing with him, okay? But we're gonna just listen to this as a motivation, okay, from a father. Consider the father's perspective over your life. Your creator's perspective over his demands and his expectations over you as a wife and a mother, okay? Here's a father to his son. Hallelujah. Here we go.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
It's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
You ain't gonna believe this. But you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's gonna be the best kid in the world. This kid's gonna be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Did the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world? And you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing yourself, you ain't gonna have a life. Don't forget to visit your...
Until you start believing in yourself. Hallelujah. Let's make changes, my sisters. Bless y'all. Have a good night. This is a wonderful song. I'm sending this song to Goshen. Hopefully Goshen hasn't heard it because we want to give him a new one. But if you have, I know you'll jam with me. Bless y'all. It's called Survival Plan. It's an old school one from our Straightway. Who knows it? Yes. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Have a great night. Shalom, shalom. Miss you, Sakina. Miss you, Mother Jennifer.
For his eyes are like blazing fire, and his feet are like burning bronze. Yet his voice is the sound of many waterfalls. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the precious Lamb of God.
Hold on, I'm getting texts from Goshen. They know this already. Sister Alex probably took it from right. But look, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Who sings what part in Goshen? That's what's interesting, right? Who does it, Nadia? Who hits the... You sing them both? Okay. All right. Well, we're about to see because you know they're singing.
You are my one.
Go to the
You are the friend.
Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Good night.